and welcome. I'm Renee Kemp in for Rose Aguilar today, and this is Your Call. Between the years 1910 and 1940, some 170,000 Chinese immigrants were held at Angel Island Immigration Station. Angel Island was the West Coast equivalent to Ellis Island on the East Coast, and Angel Island received immigrants from 82 countries, most of them. The processing time lasted only 2 or 3 days, but it was a very different experience for Chinese immigrants. Their average time in detention was between 3 weeks and 3 months, one person actually being held for nearly 2 years. That immigration station is now serving as an historical site and as a reminder of the exclusionary policies that were enforced there. Many of us drive right by it and may not even know that history, but that history is going to be recounted artistically, weekends from May 4th to May 19th, with a dance performance and installation. It is mounted by Lenora Lee Dance. That troupe is performing Within These Walls and Dreams of Flight. Both of them are very immersive works that explore the lasting impact of the exclusion and xenophobia on generations of Chinese immigrants whose families came through Angel Island, and they are telling these stories through dance. If you'd like to see those shows, by the way, you'll need to travel by ferry, and then you'll follow the action of the dancers right to where these detentions took place, all within view of beautiful San Francisco, with all of the irony that that implies. So joining us today, Lenora Lee. Lenora Lee has been a dancer, choreographer, and artistic director for more than 20 years, and she's director of Lenora Lee Dance. She's been an artist fellow at the De Young, a Jurassic resident artist, a visiting scholar at NYU, and an artist in residence at Dance Mission Theater. She's currently a 2019 United States Artists Fellow and was recently awarded a Creative Work Fund with the Chinatown Community Development Center for this immersive piece. Lenora Lee, Francis Wong, music director for Within These Walls. Talk about the performance.
Well, we developed Within These Walls in 2017, and at that time, the response to the performance was so great. Audience members, as well as us as cast and crew, we were very moved by the experience, having the opportunity to create the work within the immigration station where all of the detentions and processing took place. It spoke incredibly, and so we knew that we wanted to bring the piece back as soon as possible. So for the show that's opening this Saturday, we're going to perform this original, Within These Walls, as well as a sequel we've been creating called Dreams of Flight. And the sequel will be an extension of the original and follow the narrative through lines of some of the main characters.
So, Lenora, this story is really very personal for you. Three of your grandparents were processed at Angel Island. Could you tell your grandparents' stories, what brought them to the U.S., and what they encountered at Angel Island?
Sure. Both of my grandfathers came to the U.S. through Angel Island in the 1920s, and they came from a rural area in southern China called Toisan or Taishan. And they came over with a lot of weight on their shoulders in terms of representing their community, their village, where they came from, hoping to make sufficient money to bring their wives and families over. And this was the plight, really, of so many thousands of Chinese during that period of time, who were escaping natural disaster, poverty, internal conflict, and war in China. And so there was, they were one, two of many. And so their stories are representative of of so much of the history of the Chinese and Chinese Americans in the Bay Area in the United States and how they immigrated to the U.S. So they were processed and they tried to figure out how to bring their family over. And it wasn't until 10 years later that they were able to bring their wives over. Now, through this entire period, they had no idea if they'd be able to do this. And so it was on faith and hope and devotion that they kept the dreams and the desires alive to be able to reunite with their family.
Did they expect to have that kind of family separation when they arrived? Because when they arrived, the authorities were actually really tasked with keeping Chinese out of the U.S. Was that a surprise to them?
Correct. Yes. So that as the Chinese immigrated from the mid-1800s on, stories were passed down. And so I'm sure my grandfathers were aware of the situation and all the risks involved. But there was, this great desire to seek a better life, to seek a more stable and prosperous future for their families and the succeeding generations. And that really propelled them and so many others to take this voyage, to take the journey, and regardless of what was at stake.
And isn't it,
Lenora, what year was that?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Francis Wong.
In the early 20s.
Yeah, I just wanted to give us some context because you're talking about what year was that? Mm-hmm. Was that the 20s?
It was the early 1920s.
Yeah, so, I mean, part of it is the context is that China had just had a revolution in 1911, and by the 20s, it was involved in a, continued civil war, and which was the result of decades of intervention by colonial powers in China. And so a lot of what was pushing immigrants to leave China to come to the United States had to do with the impact of war and colonialism in their homeland, and as well as the continued need for Chinese labor here in California.
That's the voice of Francis Wong. He's music director and composer for the installations entitled Within These Walls and Dreams of Flight. He's been a performing artist for years, and he's joined by Lenora Lee, and her dance company is performing Within These Walls and Dreams of Flight at the Angel Island Immigration Station weekends between May 4th and the 19th, an immersive, really moving performance. And, I was saying as part of the intro, if you've never had the experience where seeing a dance performance actually makes you weep, this is one of those experiences, precisely both Lenora and Francis, because it is so immersive. Can you talk about either or both of you, how it is that by having people literally immersed in this situation that moves people so much? Lenora?
Sure. I've been working on immersive performance for the last 5 years, and what struck me the most when I originally experienced it prior to that was the fact that the audience are right in the same spaces, traveling with the performers throughout buildings, throughout outside grounds to the buildings. And so it was fascinating because we were so close that we literally became part of the stories that were unfolding in front of us. And as an artist and a performer, I'm always interested in the question of how deeply can we connect with others? How deeply can we connect with audience members? How can we, in a very visceral way, share the experiences of these narratives and these stories? And this is one medium that I've found as one of the most effective ways. It really breaks the barriers and the divide of what you would think traditional performance is, where audience are purely witnesses at a distance and observing from afar. However, because we mounted this throughout the two levels of the immigration station barracks and on the grounds surrounding it, the audience members really are right there with us. We interact with them. They are in certain ways treated as detainees themselves. And so we wanted to bring it, not in an invasive way, but a very compassionate way, so that they might be able to experience what happened at the station firsthand.
Francis
and the
Wong.
Weight of those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Francis, how was your music impacted by the fact that we are literally in the midst of this environment?
Well, a lot of this also has to do with my own history as an activist in the Bay Area, because I started visiting Angel Island probably back to the 70s when I was in college. And there was a very important group of people, which included state parks. It was this guy named Paul Chow, who really was part of bringing to light the experience that immigrants had on Angel Island, and told a lot of the stories, showing the poetry that was carved in the walls, the barracks where people stayed or detained. And those experiences, because for Chinese Americans, for Asian Americans of the period, this was the beginning of our awakening to uncovering the uncomfortable truths about experience of immigration to this country. And so visiting the island is a continuous pilgrimage for Asian Americans and for those who understand that the trauma and the generational trauma that took place there. So that really has informed my music throughout my career, for the last 40 years. And that influences the kinds of themes that we bring up in the music that sets a platform for Lenora's choreography.
Well, speaking of setting the tone, we're going to use a clip from a documentary that is actually being created from the performance. This is a trailer from the documentary explaining the setting, some of the things that took place on Angel Island and the extent to which Americans weren't really ready for some of the brutality that actually took place on Angel Island. This is a clip from Within These Walls.
The U.S. wasn't ready for the influx of Chinese male laborers. While exploiting them for cheap and risk-taking labor without documented recognition in photos or history books, the government was working on the elimination of the Chinese male laboring class, with anti-miscegenation laws enforced and the restrictions laborers faced in bringing family over. Our company, Lenora Lee Dance, created an immersive multimedia dance work, Within These Walls, in 2017, dedicated to the 170,000 Chinese who were detained, interrogated, and processed at the station between 1910 and 1940 as the result of the Chinese Exclusion Act.
That's the voice of Lenora Lee explaining the backstory, the history of her performance piece, Within These Walls. Lenora, you said the U.S. wasn't ready for this influx, and yet there seemed to be some pretty brutal laws waiting for them. Can you talk about the anti-miscegenation laws, for example, that greeted Chinese immigrants?
Well, basically, by the time that immigrants were coming into Angel Island, the Exclusion Act era had been going on for about 30 years. And at that point, they were doing as much as they can to try to enforce a separation and isolation of Chinese from the rest of the population here in California. And your example of anti-miscegenation was that because they barred Chinese females from coming into the country during this period, they also wanted to keep Chinese from marrying whites. And so they created these laws as ways to ensure that in Chinese communities, we would have bachelor societies, and that is part of the hallmark of the Chinese community up to about the 20s and 30s. Yeah,
it's just
right,
remarkable.
They didn't want.
Go ahead, Lenora.
This was in order to prevent Chinese from settling here, creating their families and staying in the United States for generations.
Mm-hmm. Because mostly the work was needed, like you said, the labor for building the railroad systems, and so they wanted the men, but they didn't allow females from China at all, period, which is just bizarre. It's just bizarre. Did you, as part of the performance, did you break that things down gender-wise, Lenora, to reflect the fact that these two genders were separated?
Correct. So as they were processed and held at the station, the Asians were separated from everyone else, and the Chinese were separated from the other Asians. The men were separated from the women. And if there were young children involved, they would stay with the mother. And so if you traveled by boat with family members, you may never see them, you know, at all during your stay at the station. And a lot of the unknowns involved were how long they were going to be detained there, if they would ever actually land in the U.S., and perhaps if they landed, would their family members land as well? So as Francis mentioned, in terms of the poetry that was inscribed on the walls of the barracks, because Chinese were detained there for such long periods, they began to write their experiences out through poetry on the walls. And so there have been over 200 poems collected and translated into English, which are compiled into a book called Island, which is a compilation of the history of that period, of the what occurred on Angel Island at the immigration station, along with interviews and oral histories. It was compiled by the poet and playwright that we're working with on this project, Jenny Lim, Him Mark Lai, and Judy Young.
In looking at the performance, I noticed that it seems to be a mixture of some ballet movements in terms of arms, but also some Chinese traditional dance moves. But there's also a little hip-hop thrown in there, you know, with the isolations. How deliberate was that in your choreography choices?
So I work quite collaboratively with all of the dancers, and for this particular cast, the original was a cast of 14, and this round we have a cast of 12, and we, due to the nature of the immersive performance and having multiple narratives unfold simultaneously throughout the building, each cast member has an hour and a half of material on their own. And so we generate, as a group and individuals, we generate material choreography, and then I, as a director, will then oversee which materials get used and taught to the group, and then utilized in various different scenes. And so we work together to build the material, and then we learn each other's material, and then I'm able to partition and place things in certain ways so that it depicts the scenes and the feel and the emotions that we're looking for at any given time. And so the dancers that we're working with have a variety of backgrounds in terms of their movement training. Some folks are based in modern dance and ballet. Some have studied Chinese martial arts, Chinese traditional dance and folk dance. Some have studied and performed and trained in hip-hop and breakdancing. It's quite diverse, and I really enjoy it that way because it's wonderful to bring these individuals in and to highlight their strengths as well as to challenge them to learn other types of movement material so that we have a common language as we're going forward and creating the work.
And it really is entertaining to watch how they all come together, the flexed feet of modern dance with the sort of, it seems improvisational anyway, of what looks like more modern dance. Do you allow for any improv or no?
Yes, it's a combination. So it's a combination of set choreography as well as improvisation. Mm-hmm. And the exciting thing about this is that oftentimes transitions from room to room, from space to space, will require quite a bit of improvisation and nuancing in terms of signaling audience members that something else will take place in another room. So it's a gentle negotiation, and each performance is quite different. And I would say from the audience perspective, every audience member will experience a completely different narrative unfolding. It just depends on the pathway that they take and who they choose to follow at any given time. Because I would say the majority of the people do not choose to follow one character for the entire length of the piece. And so oftentimes you might get drawn to watch one duet that's occurring. And then when those two members split up, you have the choice of either following, you know, either of them to a different room. And so the stories unfold in quite magical and unique ways. And even if you were to see the piece, say, six times, as one of our previous mm-hmm. audience members did, it's completely different, depending on what scene you saw before the next.
If you're
I'd like to add mm-hmm. is the process is that the audiences are in the performance. There is a really strong feeling of community or communal sense as members of the audience really act as witnesses and, I guess, in some ways, co-celebrants, because what that means for the dance, the performers, is that playing a role of really marking and holding space for this shared meditation, shared exploration of the experiences of those who went through Angel Island. And I think that in that sense, the performers are quite gifted in their ability to sense the moment and to sense have an awareness of what's going through the emotional space with audience members. So that's where improvisation really, you know, plays an important role to really, enunciate the moment of performance.
That's the voice of Francis Wong, music director and composer for Within These Walls, Dreams of Flight. Also joining us is Lenora Lee, director, artistic director, dancer, and choreographer for Within These Walls and Dreams of Flight. We'd love to hear your questions for these two remarkable artists. First, we're going to take a break, and what you'll be listening to is some of the work from Francis Wong. He's playing saxophone on this piece. We'll pick up on the other side. We'll be right back. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us now, I'm Renee Kempin for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. You were just listening to a CD entitled Early Abstractions. That cut is called Animator Suite. It's music by Francis Wong. He was playing the saxophone on that piece. And he is the music director for Within These Walls and Dreams of Flight. It is a remarkable immersive piece that's being performed at Angel Island weekends, Saturdays and Sundays between May 4th and May the 19th. And you get to take the ferry over and actually get to see the performance and be in the midst of it. Also joining us is dancer, choreographer, and artistic director of Lenora Lee Dance. And she is the mind behind this performance. Thank you so much for being here with us. It's one of those things where you almost have to see it. It almost defies description, but we've tried to kind of set the scene and let people know that the performance is around wall carvings that some of the 170,000 Chinese who were there between 1910 and 1940, they literally carved into the walls out of distress and worry and concern and sadness. And so to literally have this performance take place on the island in the setting is really, really remarkable. So again, thank you so much for being here with us to discuss this, Lenora Lee and Francis Wong. So Francis, you've said that in the Asian American community, the biggest challenge is the continuity of culture and the impact of assimilation. We talk a lot on this particular show about assimilation, which has been used against Native Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, and others. You say that through music, you envision a way to create continuity. How so?
Well, for example, the songs or of our homeland can be the source material for continuing a sense of historical memory. Plus, the rendering of those songs and the material can create a contemporary reflection of that experience as well. I mean, I have a little story. I mean, I was learning this song from a Chinese immigrant Erhu teacher named Jie Bin Chen, and I was practicing this song in my room, and my father came in and says, don't you know that that's the song from our ancestral homeland? Hmm. So what we're able to do through music is make connections, even though I've never been to Wuxi, and my father didn't always necessarily understand my musical interests, but he could connect and make a connection for me when he heard this music. So I think that sound really carries memory, and it's one of the few things that actually songs that were played before can be played today. And so in that sense, they are not time defined in terms of, you know, as far as like the same songs, the same tones can be repeated, and that creates a connection to the past.
A bridge from then to now.
That's correct.
And let's take a quick listen to Lenora Lee, who describes how you're hoping that audience who watch Within These Walls and Dreams of Flight will mentally create that bridge between what happened in the early 1900s to the mid-1900s and what's actually happening in terms of immigration now. This is Lenora Lee from a trailer of the documentary that's being made.
Coupled with humiliating doctor examinations and dehumanizing interrogations, the mass detentions and incarceration on Angel Island lasted for weeks, months, at times up to 2 years. We are again at a particular crossroad in our nation's journey with the current administration. The rights of immigrants, women, children, the impoverished, and communities of color are being heavily threatened. In the context of today's mass detention of immigrants and the national debate taken to a new level, there is an acute sense of urgency in promoting efforts to engage the public in the process of reconciliation and restorative justice, embodied in the effort to share the story of the Angel Island Immigration Station. The public's engagement with this historic site is not only one of education or curiosity, but an affirmative, deeply felt effort at healing.
That's Lenora Lee. Within These Walls and Dreams of Flight are her two performance works. Lenora, you've said that you hope audiences gain a bit more compassion and understanding of what happened then and recognize how it's still happening now. Talk about the then and the now and how you hope this performance bridges that.
Yes, it was amazing when we performed it in 2017, how we really felt that although we were representing historical characters and real-life people from this particular era during the Chinese exclusion era. Many, you know, there's several cast members who have immigrated and are working on their own immigration to the United States. And then we just felt as if, although, you know, we were representing these historic figures, that really it mirrored what was currently happening in the United States right now. And then we felt that we were able to bring to the table this, which many folks don't know about, is the Exclusion Act, that it was enforced between 1882 and 1940 with still quotas to limit Chinese from coming to the United States until 1965. So that's an 83-year period. And the Exclusion Act was the first piece of legislation to limit anyone from another country to coming to the United States. And so we felt that it was the opening of a dialogue and that we could share through this experience and through talking about the Exclusion Act what laws and took precedent at that period of time and really set the tone for anti-immigration laws to come.
I'm sure it's not lost on either of you that when a candidate, Donald Trump, called for what he called a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States, and then last year, the end of the year, there was a seminal case that arose from Japanese-American internments, and it was referenced in a Supreme Court decision that actually upheld a version of Trump's travel ban. So immigration advocates now are saying that the ban, given the countries that it now restricts, affects more than 135 million people. So any thoughts from either you, Francis, or you, Lenora, about how poignant this piece is, given where we are today?
Well, you just said it. It's like Chinese Exclusion Act was the first piece of legislation that identified a specific country of origin for exclusion. And also the internment of Japanese Americans was also in World War II set another precedent. So those are coming together. So I think, was it the travel ban was seven countries, you know. So there's a certain kind of, even though we had felt that these cases, whether it's the Japanese American incarceration or the Chinese Exclusion Act, were done deals, as it were, in terms of in the past, that they are being what do you call it? Their ugly head is being reared in this time. And I think that it means that those of us who are part of these traditions of resistance and survival to step up and, you know, speak our truths, because they continue to be relevant.
It's interesting that the audience members actually have to take a ferry and come over, and as Lenora described, then once they're there, they can actually choose to break off and go in different directions and watch different aspects of the performance. And one of the clips that I saw, visual clips, you actually have a performance by a doctor who was performing these humiliating examinations on Chinese immigrants. I found it so chilling. It felt like what Jews went through in Auschwitz, what African Americans went through on plantations. It just resonated in so many ways for me. So, Lenore, I'm just wondering how important it was to put people in that place and kind of hold them there.
Right. I think there were many things that occurred when the immigrants were detained, and we wanted to bring forth some of the main processing procedures and issues that occurred, which to, the Chinese were very invasive, incredibly invasive, and basically the Chinese were held under great scrutiny during that period of time and were incarcerated and held as guilty until they could prove that they were innocent. Some of the feedback that we received from audience members at that time, whether or not they had any connection to Chinese or Chinese-American history or culture, once they stepped into the immigration station, they could feel the weight of the stories and all that had been all experienced there. And some of them expressed that, you know, there were times during the performance when they really just wanted to step in between two characters and prevent what was going on, or they wanted to reach out to some of the performers to provide a sense of ease or support, that really, because they're so close and because at certain times they the performers interact with them, that it becomes something that's deeply felt, that people can experience it in ways that they would not be able to experience it through other mediums, through film, you know, through theater, through regular theatrical performance. And so we wanted to bring as close of a representation of these experiences to them in a very non-invasive way.
And yet very physical.
Right. And so that they could get a sense of things and perhaps gain a deeper sense of empathy and compassion for this particular perspective, and not see themselves as, oh, immigrants are the other, that really this is about. How do we as a collective understand, you know, the suffering and the trauma that goes on to people who choose to flee their homelands for various reasons, and to not automatically separate yourself and feel, well, I can't relate to that particular narrative or story, you know, how can we just broaden the lens of, you know, the experiences that immigrants go through.
There's a big difference between sitting in an audience in a comfortable velvet chair with armrests and watching a performance and what this offers. I know just something about that doctor, seeing the doctor looking down the throat of one of the immigrants, it was really an enactment of that awful experience where they were actually forced to disrobe in front of total strangers, and they were probed and measured with metal calipers, and they were tested for parasites, and then if necessary, if they had to be hospitalized, it was at their own expense, or they could be sent back and deported. It was something about that scene really let me know, no, this is a different kind of performance, and it's designed to give you chills and make you cry. And I understand some of the performers themselves even sometimes perform through their tears. It's really something, Francis Wong.
Yes, because when you have the performers who they themselves, I mean, there's a common experience here shared, you know, with the immigrants on Angel Island to the immigrants today, and everyone is somehow connected to that experience. And it really, when you're involved in the performance of the work, one has to go there, one has to go to that place to draw upon oftentimes some painful memories or realizations of the moment that we're in here in this country at this time.
Isn't it amazing, though, as many times as you might drive across the Bay Bridge and glance over at that island, it's just extraordinary that most of us kind of either never knew, or if we were taught about it in schools, which I imagine a lot of people, even, you know, particularly if they're not from the Bay Area or the West Coast. I know I'm from Ohio. We never learned about Angel Island, okay? So, you know, I think that it's remarkable that we drive past this site every day. And Lenore, your aim is to make sure perhaps that those who experience this never drive past that without considering this again, that experience will change how they look at the Bay Area in particular, San Francisco, and Angel Island itself, yes?
Yes, that's correct. I did want to mention also that, you know, there we do, through the performance, share and uncover quite a bit of the hardship and the experiences that occurred there. We also wanted to bring a sense of community and individual as well as community strength, because, you know, the Chinese, the Exclusion Act affected generations of Chinese coming to the United States. It separated families, you know, it really tore families apart. And but through this, you know, the Chinese were able to devise ways to come over. And so it was really about sharing and expressing the ingenious of the Chinese community in bypassing the Exclusion Act and figuring out ways to land. And so we wanted to share about the strengths of these folks who really put their lives and the futures of their community and their village and their families on the line. Many of the young Chinese men that came over were teenagers, you know, with elementary school or middle school education, and they were put under great pressure, mm-hmm. And oftentimes held under interrogations for hours. And if they switched interpreters, they would have to start the questioning over again, and they would have to question, you know, other the alleged family members, and sometimes multiple times. So it was a lengthy process, and it was incredibly stressful. And so, you know, it wasn't purely a sense of victory once they landed, because then then folks had to deal with assimilating and backlash against the Chinese. So it was a constant constant process for those who were coming over. Of course, you know, they came over with dreams of life here being wonderful and great, but also not really understanding the reality once they hit ground. And so for many, you had to deal with dreams and illusions and the hardship that they face after landing. So it was, you know, we tried to incorporate these aspects within the piece and also within the sequel that we built. And we're very much excited to be able to share through the sequel a much larger sense of community and community strength with the characters.
And the sequel is called Dreams of Flight. Yes? Dreams of Flight is the sequel?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go right ahead, Francis. You were saying?
Well, I was just talking about how you were talking about, you know, driving across the bridge and then, you know, we pass by Angel Island or we see and not necessarily kind of give it that much notice. And I think it's quite important right now, because Asian Americans and Chinese Americans are sometimes portrayed as being these the model minority, you know, mm-hmm. that were so successful. And it's really important to remember the fact that the reality of the Chinese experience here in America has been one of struggle and resistance. And, you know, we continue to wage that struggle over here in our communities like Chinatown against gentrification, and to continue to hold space for immigrants coming to this country. And so doing works like this really is part of trying to combat some sense that we've made it, you know, like with the we're crazy rich Asians now, and to really kind of align our experience with, you know, the continued struggle for justice in this country.
To me, that a lot of folks who want to describe their difficult times in this country, it's difficult to get people to, particularly with their entertainment time and dollars, want to experience the horrible conditions. You know what comes to mind when Oprah Winfrey did a take on Toni Morrison's novel? She was shocked. I mean, they love Oprah, but they could not bring themselves to go to see a movie about a mother who was facing enslavement of her child and chose to kill her infant rather than see it go into slavery. You know, it occurs to me that these are things that, you know, we have a hard time facing. And when you talk about the experience of Chinese immigrants at Angel Island, we're talking about filthy conditions. Public health officials deemed those barracks to be fire traps. The food was barely edible. You know, it was a horrible time. How do you compel people to be willing, especially since it's such an immersive experience, how do you compel people to be willing to go there?
In our first rendition in 2017, to our surprise, a lot of folks were interested in visiting the immigration station. Like, even if they were locals, they had not realized that there was an immigration station there. So part of it is a sense of curiosity of these historic buildings themselves, as well as a desire to visit the island. So it really was a bit of a journey, you know, a trek. However, it was really like an exciting outing in some ways as well, because we're able to stage this in a theatrical way where not only are the challenging situations represented, but the innovation in the sense of it being an immersive performance was really about an experience that we have generated, an experience for people to step into. And we're not going to put people on the spot in terms of having to grapple with the issues as performers themselves. But the feedback that we've received was that those who were able to witness and view the performance were very moved. And I think that's all we really can ask for, is that we hope that, you know, people can, you know, get a broader perspective of what these experiences are and be curious about immigration issues for themselves, be interested in doing more research, or, you know, perhaps coming to our shows again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think the experience of witnessing the performance itself is one of a unique experience and a unique journey throughout.
And because people can choose to follow a different vignette each time, there's value in coming back again and again, yes?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, there were people who, you have the option. So we have 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock shows for each of the Saturday and Sundays between May 4th and May 19th. And people have the option of watching it twice on the same day. They could come back and see it again. We had one patron who saw it 5 times and still kept getting the word out. Mm-hmm. And each time it was different. He brought different family members. And yeah, I think people are fascinated to see the different stories, and they want to see everything. And I would have to say that it's challenging to see everything, that oftentimes I don't get to see everything and all the nuances. And that's the exciting part. I feel like this type of performance mirrors everyday life, that really, you know, there are all kinds of things that occur concurrently within this building, and you'll never know exactly all that takes place. And so it's unique in that way.
Francis Wong, how important is it for young folks to witness this performance?
Well, so the thing is that history can be a little dry, because, you know, I teach a history class in Asian American Studies at San Francisco State. And oftentimes, you know, one cannot get from a book about history, or even someone talking about it, one can't really get a feeling for it. And so going to the actual site and opening oneself up to the sound and the movement really can actually connect one to the experience of others. So I think that especially for young people who are still in the process of gaining their own experiences and their own sense of themselves, being at a performance like this can actually be transformative and enlightening.
It's a history lesson.
Can I ask?
Come to life. Actually, Lenora, we've only got about a minute left, so I'm just going to make sure that people know that between May 4th and the 19th, they can go to Angel Island and see a performance of Within These Walls and Dreams of Flight. We've been talking to Lenora Lee and Francis Wong about the site-specific performance. You're invited to go, and thank you both so much for being here with us today. Thanks, Lenora. Thank you, Francis.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Your Call is produced at KALW in San Francisco. Laura Winnis produced the show today. Joshua Wilner is the social media producer. Kevin Vance is the studio engineer. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Renee Kemp. It's Your Call.